It's not very loud. I think I'll call this meeting to order. Senator Vickerman is off with the governor signing into law Senator Scogin's bill on Veterans Day for Vietnam vets. So he'll be joining us shortly, but I thought we'd get started. We have the Delete Everything Amendment on the Agriculture and Veterans Policy before us. And Mr. Knopf will be starting us off by walking through Article 1. Mm-hmm. Mr. Knopf?
Madam Chair and members, I'll just go through. You also have a summary that shows where these provisions are found. Most of these provisions have all been seen by this committee before, and so I'll walk through it fairly quickly. If you want to stop me, any questions, any details, we can do that. You can see Section 1 is from Senator Scogin's Livestock Investment Grant Program, and that's basically the same language that you have in the budget bill, although there's no money in this bill. It's the policy language to get the program going is in here. So that's Section 1. Section 2 is from Senator Sieben's bill, Senate File 2449. It's similar to what passed this committee, although after I looked at what passed the committee that day, I don't think they quite got what they wanted. So there are some technical corrections to this. The bill's on the floor right now, and there's an amendment to make a similar correction to that. But this would be clear. If you look on page 4, it'd be clear that it's either requested, ordered, or contracted for, or permitted, or two, perform pursuant to those clauses. That's the mosquito sprain, the public health sprain, and the gypsy moth sprain. So that's basically the way the committee intended to pass it, but it didn't quite work out that way. So the language is slightly different. Section 3, the anhydrous ammonia tanks, that's from Senator Kubley's bill, 2756. It's the same language that's on the floor right now. Section 4 is from the Ag Chemical and Permit and License Revocation or Suspension. That was Senator Vickerman's bill that passed committee 2983. And so that's what the language in Section 4 is. Section 5 is the Ag Chemical Response and Reimbursement Account. This is Senator Lurie's bill 3326. It's the same language that passed the committee there. Section 6, sections, actually that should be 6 through 14 on the summary. That's from Senator Lurie's bill dealing with food law changes. Again, all these provisions have been seen by the committee. This includes the when Senator Dill's bill was added for the somatic cell count change for goat's milk. That's included in Section 14, and that was also being made part of Senator Lurie's food law change bill. And then Section 15, the control of bovine tuberculosis. This is from Senator Scoy's bill. It's only the part that was recommended by the administration originally. It doesn't include the buyout provisions that Senator Scoy added to his bill, but it does include the parts that passed this committee in the that were in the budget bill that passed on Tuesday. At least that part about the board's designation of zones and control within a modified accredited zone. Sections 16 and then later in the amendment, Section 51, deal with the Next Gen and Energy Board, Senator Vickerman's 3262, again heard by this committee, and it includes the addition of the forest products industry to the committee. And then when this committee heard it, it had an unlimited expiration date, but this one extends it out from 2009 to 2014. Section 17 is the MAILC, or the Minnesota Agriculture Leadership Council, Agricultural Education Leadership Council bill of Senator Vickerman's, and that extended from 2008 to 2013 for that board. Sections 18 to 25 on animal chiropractic, these are from Senator Kubley's bill 3165, and this reflects the additions that were made in the Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee. Sections 26 to 40 are from Senator Dill's bill dealing with the Board of Veterinary Medicine. Although Section 32 is a hybrid, they were both bills amended the same section, so it includes the last two lines of Section 32 include some language that was added to Senator Kubley's bill in the Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee. And Sections 41, 42, 53, and 54 are the provisions from Senator Vickerman's biodiesel content mandate, and it's identical to the way it left this committee and then came back to Finance Committee. But it does include the mandate provisions. The one provision that's in the bill right now, it had some provisions for the renewable development fund, changing some appropriations from that. That's not included in this bill. Since there are no direct appropriations in this bill. And then the open space provisions from Senator Dill's bill are included. And those are, it went back to state and local government operations and oversight committee. And so sections 43 to 49 and 52 reflect that bill as it passed out of that committee. And section 50 is actually the original bill that you're hearing today, and that was not heard by committee, but it's contained in section 50, and what that provision does is the money from last year in the appropriation bill last year was for the Ag Best Management Practices Revolving Loan Program, and there was an issue over. The language did not tell when the appropriation was available until, and so there was needed some clarification. That's the Senator Vickerman's original bill. This has a slight modification. If you look on page 35, on 35.10 to 35.14, you can see what it does is it says that any money that's passed through to local governments is available until spent. That's generally the language we use for the money that gets passed through to local governments for the low interest loans. But then any money that's used to administer it, because last year, it's $2.5 million, at least $2 million must be passed through. So any of the pass-through money is available until spent. Any money not passed through that was appropriated in the first year is available in the second year. So that just clarifies how that appropriation from last year would work. And that, Madam Chair, is the contents of Article 1.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Knopf. Any questions from the committee? Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, on page 28, line 24, with regard to the biodiesel content mandate, there's a reference in here to a BQ9000 National Biodiesel Accreditation Program. There's some question about if there's would be some legal liability issues with that accreditation program that we'd like to work out. Mr. Schoenfeld is here to help me describe part of the problem, but I think at this point, members, I would move to remove the new language on page 28, lines 24 and 25.
Do you want to have testimony from your witness before you move the amendment?
Madam Chair, I'm comfortable, but perhaps the rest of the committee should hear from Mr. Schoenfeld.
Mr. Schoenfeld?
Jerry Schoenfeld, and I work with the Minnesota Biodiesel Council on this matter. The question really is BQ 9000 is a certification program for the plants and the processes that they use, similar to what probably many of you are familiar with regard ISO manufacturing when you see ISO certified. It is not run by a state agency or a federal agency or any form of government. It is put together by the National Biodiesel Board as a program, and it's meant to assure quality in the system, and it does do that pretty well. And we originally put it into the bill thinking that we could assure quality through this program, but since that time, they have questions as to their liability because they're the certification and they're not an agency and they can't control it through the law. So they've asked to at least take it out for now. It is still in the House bill, and I think we'll be trying to figure out a good alternative to continue with the quality issue.
Thank you, Mr. Schoenfeld. Any other questions from the committee? Senator Skoy?
I renew my motion.
Yes, Mr. Knopf.
Chair, Senator Skoy, there's some technical, I think to make the amendment complete, what you'd have to do on 28.22 is reinstate the stricken and delete the new language, and then on line 28.23, delete the semicolon, then delete line 24, and delete everything before the period on 25. I would get at what you're trying to do.
I would incorporate those changes in my motion.
Okay, Senator Skoy has a motion on the table to make those adjustments. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other discussion or questions on the bill? Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it was the last hearing on the livestock investment grant program. We had made a small technical change to the eligibility regarding the need to hold an appropriate feedlot registration.
Yeah.
And I think we added
right.
if required in that.
Yep. Madam
but
Chair,
it's not here.
Senator Chaudhry, I'm not sure why that didn't show up here. I thought I had that in there, but you're right. It we'll do the same change as the other day on 2.17. Delete an appropriate and insert. On it's page 2, line 17. So it's page 2, line 17. Delete an appropriate insert and in after registration insert comma if required.
I'll move that.
Thank you, Senator Chaudhry. And just to let everyone know, we do have a quorum present. Senator Chaudhry moves this amendment to the Subdivision 3 as described by Mr. Knopf. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Are we just dealing with Article 1, Madam Chair?
Yes, at this point. Any other questions on Article 1 or comments? Okay, we'll go on to Article 2 at this point.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members, Article 2 begins on page 44. Sections 1 to 3 on that page were in Senate File 3633, which was heard by the committee. They add new language to an existing section that provides for a special veteran contribution license plate. They basically authorize this for motorcycle license plates as well. These are also in legislation carried by Senator Carlson that I believe was heard by the Transportation Committee. Then Section 4 at the bottom of page 44 is also taken from Senate File 3633. That also appears in the other omnibus bill the committee passed earlier this week. On page 45, Section 5 has been heard by the committee. That's from Senator Erickson Roep's bill, Senate File 3281, that creates the Veterans Health Care Advisory Council. There's a related provision later in the bill in Section 7 that just provides authority for the governor to make the appointments. On page 46, Section 6 is Senator Pretner Solon's bill authorizing the addition of a new veterans cemetery. That was already heard and passed by the committee. And on page 48, the remaining section in this article is Section 8. This has changed slightly to fit everything within one section. This is the bill, Senate File 3006, Senator Torres Ray's bill. The only change is just to put it into subdivision form and fit everything within one section. Otherwise, the wording is identical. And that completes Article 2.
Any questions?
Members, I apologize for being a little bit late. Just to add a bill signing for the Veterans Memorial Day. So I come in a little bit late, but is there any questions on what you've heard so far? Any? Senator Robes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a quick question. This is perhaps a rookie question, and it just feels like we've been in the last day of session for last month. So I'm probably missing a few details, but another bill that I carried on dissolving the Veterans Home Board, is that not included in this one because it has a fiscal impact? Or where is that bill? Or did that go directly to the floor? I can't remember.
Madam Chair and Senator Erickson Roep, I can't recall at the moment either. I'll get you that information. Work on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, if there aren't any questions, I have the A2 amendment for Article 2.
Okay.
Well, the A2 amendment, Mr. Chair and members, has to do with a request from a couple of my veterans service groups that would like to extend the possibility of getting the World War II service medallions to other members of their groups and to other members of their communities who had fought in World War II but were not able to make it down for the dedication of the memorial. And they've offered to pay for them, and so, you know, I guess I'm trying to make it available to veterans organization to have a short window that would allow them to purchase these medallions for their other members and members of their communities that that they know fought in the Second World War who would like to have one of the medallions. And it seems to me that there's quite a little interest in that among the VFWs and the American Legions of the state. So I would hope that we could approve this and make those medallions available for their members.
Senator Kubley, I think it's a great idea because I've had people do that. Justin's, I believe, put that package together.
Well, Mr. Chair, Justin's did do that. We were unable to get a return call from them, so we contacted the vendor that they had contracted with to make them, and it seems like we could make them available for a lesser amount than they went for the first time if we ordered direct from the vendor, and the department is willing to work with us on that, and they've suggested some dates to fill in the blanks here too, Mr. Chair, so I can give you those if you like, but it's kind of a short window, but it allows them the opportunity to do that for their members.
Senator Kubley, as I said again, it's a good amendment, and I know people want to do it. But I wonder if we shouldn't put a date.
Yeah, and I do have some that we had visited with the department about, Mr. Chair.
What, tell them what
they are. In the first line, they're suggesting July 1 of this year on line 1.5.
Okay.
And then if you go down to line 1.12, there's suggesting September 1 of this year, right, of 2008. And on line 1.14, by October 15, I think the idea is to get them into the hands of the veterans by Veterans Day on November 11th, I think it is.
You want that date 2008 also? Or?
Yes, they'd all be 2008, Mr. Chair.
Everybody understand Senator Kubley's amending his own? This is part of your amendment. You're just putting the dates in.
I'm trying to include that, Mr. Chair. That's correct.
Any discussion? Not all in favor on the Kubley amendment? All in favor,
aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted. It'll be part of our package. Anything else come before our committee? Have we gone through everything?
Yeah.
Now, anybody from the audience or the outside like to say anything about the package? I don't see anybody. Senator Dale.
We have to change on the batteries on.
Thank you. Senator Dale, I think everybody's got a copy.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, members, this has to do with a chiropractic veterinary issue that Senator Cooper's been the chief author of. And I've got two amendments that deal with it. And the first is to drop it out of the bill completely. And the second one, which I haven't offered yet, has to do with bringing back the veterinarian as a referring, as a requirement for the chiropractor to examine the animal. The veterinarian would have to be involved and refer the patient to the veterinarian or to the chiropractor. And I think what I'd like to do at this time is I'll probably just set this first amendment aside to delete the whole thing and just deal with the second amendment, which maybe Mr. Knopf can pass out. And I know we've already been through this once, but there's some additional information I think you should know about, and that is that I have a list here of all the states that and how they handle this, and most states do not allow chiropractors to deal with animals at all. Now, one thing I think is kind of interesting is that there was a poll just done in the last few days about how the public feels about this, and there doesn't seem to be much support for the idea of letting chiropractors have direct access for treating livestock or pets. And of the states that do allow it, every one of them requires that a licensed veterinarian be involved with the referral of the case, except for Oklahoma. And I can go through them. I mean, there's Arkansas, chiropractic's allowed under the immediate supervision of a licensed veterinarian. California, chiropractors may perform musculoskeletal manipulation under the direct supervision of a veterinarian. Georgia, animal chiropractic allowed under the direct supervision of a veterinarian. Idaho, animal chiropractic allowed under the indirect supervision of a licensed veterinarian. Illinois, animal chiropractic is allowed when working at the request and under the supervision of a licensed veterinarian. Michigan, animal chiropractic allowed under the direct supervision of a veterinarian. Mississippi, chiropractors may provide assistance under the supervision and direction of a veterinarian. You go on and on here. It's just about all the states that allow it, except for Oklahoma, have the veterinarian involved in the treatment of the case. Now, here's Oklahoma. That's the exception. Animal chiropractic allowed from certified chiropractor or referral from a veterinarian, so it's either way. Oregon, animal chiropractic upon referral from a veterinarian. Pennsylvania, animal chiropractic allowed in conjunction with a practice of veterinary medicine. And Pennsylvania has got it expanded to include dental hygiene, physical therapy, chiropractic, but it's all under the direction of a veterinarian. South Carolina, animal chiropractic under the direction of a veterinarian in the scope of one's veterinary practice. Texas, animal chiropractic and musculoskeletal manipulation may be practiced under the supervision of a veterinarian. Utah, animal chiropractic allowed with written veterinary referral and appropriate licensure. So we're doing something that's out of the ordinary, and I would like to suggest we go with what most states are doing, and if this doesn't work out, we can come back in a couple of years and change it if there's interest in direct access at that point in time. But right now, I'd like to offer the A3 amendment, Mr. Chairman, which is the one that brings a veterinarian back into the referral part of the process.
Any questions on, we're going to run on A3, members. Senator Corrigan.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just want to say that I'm going to speak, and I hate to even do this because you know how much I think of you, Senator Dill, but I'm going to speak in opposition to this. I feel like we vetted this in this committee once already. It went to the House Health and Housing Committee, Senator Marty's committee, and we had discussion, long discussion, and vetted it there. And I feel comfortable with the way it is now. And with all due respect, I just respectfully disagree and am opposed to this amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
I'll go to Senator Dale, and then I'll come back to you.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, we're on the verge of voting on a dental issue on the floor, and that this issue of dental hygienists and so forth, they have to be under the supervision of a dentist. So that's kind of what we're talking about here. And if I may, Mr. Chair, Dr. Haggerty just showed up, and he has some additional information that I think he'd like to provide. If you give him some time at the podium.
Mr. Haggerty, come up, but I'm going to go to Senator Kubley. Do you have something before he comes up?
Well, you know, I guess I can wait and speak after Dr. Haggerty finishes. That's fine, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, Haggerty. Members of the committee, my name is Tom Haggerty, and I'm representing the Minnesota Veterinary Medical Association. Senator Dill has just gone through the various states and what they've done. No state other than Oklahoma allows unfettered access for animals to the chiropractor, with the exception of Oklahoma, and even that has got restrictions. I think all the way along what we've seen are certain restrictions so that the animal has been inspected by a veterinarian, that we know we're not dealing with a zoonotic disease or with a disease that might affect humans. And it just seems like the other states have done a real big job of making sure that they've covered all the bases. And from my information, it's working out well.
Senator Kubley?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess, you know, from information that we have no indication that it's not working out equally well in Oklahoma. I guess, you know, Senator Dill suggests that we make a change and then come back and change it back if we encounter problems. I guess I would suggest that we leave it the way it is and come back and change it if there are problems. You know, I guess, you know, we have covered a lot of this ground. There were very few dissenting votes on both committees. I think we had a grand total of 3, as I recall, from both committees. You know, I think there's no need to add another layer of cost or another layer of bureaucracy to this thing. You know, by their own admission, the veterinary folks who testified in committee noted that very few veterinarians take the chiropractic course that is offered in vet school. We have about 2% of the state's veterinarians who are trained in chiropractic therapies. And so, you know, it just seems to me that the argument that the veterinarians use, that a chiropractor wouldn't be able to recognize an organic disease that is wrong with an animal, by the same token, the veterinarian wouldn't not be able to recognize a problem that is wrong that needs chiropractic care. And so from my perspective, once again, I think it needs to be up to the owner of the animal. Animals are not children, you know, they are their chattel property for agricultural folks. And it just seems to me, Ms. Chair, you know, most of our contacts on this issue came from owners of horses. They're not going to be treated in clinics. You know, it just seems to me that those owners have the right to access the kind of care that they want for their animals without adding another cost to it and getting a referral.
Senator Dill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, there are about 30 veterinarians, as I understand it, that have taken to the additional training to be chiropractors, and they are and the demand for this is not that high, and those 30 veterinarians can probably take care of the demand in the whole state. So I don't really see the need to have human chiropractors come into this deal at all. But what this bill allows, even with this amendment, is they can still get their 210 hours of training, and they can go ahead and receive animals from a referring veterinarian. But the thing that really kind of starting to irritate me a little bit is, and this is supposed to be the education state. We want people to finish high school. We want them to finish college. We want them to do well in their profession. And we keep undermining these various professions. We're doing it with engineers. We're doing it with veterinarians. We're doing it with dentists. And I think we have to draw the line here somewhere. And if this just keeps up, I mean, why would anybody want to go to all this trouble of going through 8 years of school and all the expense and big student debts and everything else to try to provide a decent service to the citizens of this state? We want to be the education state. We want to have educated people. We have a big problem with dropouts in high school right now, dropouts in college, and this kind of stuff just sends the message that never mind going through formal education, just go ahead and break the law or do this and that, get the law to change the legislature so you can do it. Last year, the Minnesota House passed a regulation, a law, didn't become law, but they passed legislation that said that all 5 million Minnesotans could practice equine dentistry or float horses' teeth with no training whatsoever. That's outrageous. And I think we need to maintain high quality and do what these other states have been doing. I mean, for heaven's sakes, why don't we? It's not that outrageous to have a veterinarian in the loop here. That's what the other states are doing, except for Oklahoma. I think we should add this in, and if it doesn't work, and I can't see why it wouldn't, we can always change it in a year or two.
Senator Corn.
Well, I just want to say that when I'm legislating, certainly it's good to look at other states and see what they're doing, but I'm not a legislator from Oklahoma or Wisconsin. I'm from Minnesota. And right, Senator Marty? And I have to make a decision that's best for the people of Minnesota. And so, you know, certainly we can look at other states, but I'm not going to make my decision based on if somebody else is doing it or if they're not doing it. So I'll leave it at that.
Senator Coble.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And, I guess I agree with you on the education, Senator Dale, but I don't think we're not diminishing the training of veterinarians at all. We're just asking them that if they want to make a referral for chiropractic, then they need to take the chiropractic training themselves. They don't have chiropractic training. And if you want the names of some clinics that are benefiting from our lack of chiropractic care availability for animals, I can give you a couple right over the line in Wisconsin that are doing a land office business because it's not available in that state. Let's make the scope of practice available to the people that have the training to do that kind of practice. You're asking that we expand the scope of practice for veterinarians who do not have that kind of training. Let me finish. You know, I think if we're going to talk about the education, then talk about it within the context that it's given. You know, the context is, and the reality is, veterinarians are not qualified to give chiropractic care, nor are they qualified to identify problems that need that kind of care, period.
Senator Scoggin.
I'll pass, Mr. Chair, but thank you. Well, you said it pretty well.
Senator Dale.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members, veterinarians have a broad education, and if they're going to do chiropractic work, they've got the 210 hours of training that they need to go through so they know what they're doing. If they want to practice in equine medicine or surgery, there's additional classes they can take on that. There's all kinds of specialties. Now, you're a preacher, and you take care of a Lutheran church, but you could have other jobs as a counselor or a psychologist or working in other settings, and you need to get yourself trained so you can do those kinds of things. Same thing with an electrician or an engineer or a nurse. Now, here's a psychiatric nurse sitting across from me. She's got her RN degree, but she's got extra training in psychiatric issues, so she can take care of those things. And I'm a veterinarian not trained in chiropractic. That doesn't mean that I'm going to go and do that. I would want to be trained first, but I got enough sense that when I got a patient that I think might benefit from it, under your bill, I would refer it to one of your chiropractor friends, but I'd probably, first of all, try to refer it to one of these 30 veterinarians that are already trained in the area, especially if they're nearby me. If I don't have one nearby me and there's a chiropractor in the same town that's taken the 210 hours, I would refer him to that chiropractor.
Members, we need to move along because...
I like pesticides, but... I was just trying to loosen it up a little bit.
Well, speaking of pesticides, I used to be a...
Let's get back to
We trained people on how to use pesticides. We expect them to be licensed if they're going to go and use restricted use pesticides.
On the A3 amendment, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, We're voting
the wrong way.
I think we better
want to back up, Mr. Chair.
We're voting on Senator Dill's Amendment A-3.
Oh. Now,
somebody's not keeping track here.
It almost passed.
I hope there are no reporters in the room, Mr. Chair.
On the Dill Amendment A-3, I'm going to call for the vote again because I think there was some confusion going on here. On the A-3 Amendment, Senator Dill's Amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment is not adopted.
Could I have a division on that, please?
Senator Dill's asked for a division. All those in favor of the Dill motion, raise your hand. All those, well, I don't think we need to say all those opposed.
Well, we should.
But we can do that. That's only fair. All those opposed, raise your hand. Is there such a thing as being neutral?
Yes. Abstain.
Amendment is not adopted. Senator Dill, was you going to do your...
I'm going to pass on that.
Okay. Anything further come before us? Not we have to adopt the A-1 as amended. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Senator Scoy moves adoption of the A-1 amendment as amended. Be recommended to pass, and it goes to the finance. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So adopted.
That's it.
Well, members, that's it, and we'll see how we get along.
Mr. Chairman, you just adopted the amendment. Now the A-1 amendment. Now you need to actually adopt or recommend passage of Senate File 3683 to the Finance Committee.
Okay, Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I missed the discussion on this bill on page 46 and 47. Does someone know why we are eliminating the Veterans Cemetery Trust account?
Christine Thiel, the department.
Is somebody from the department can come up? Okay. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Christine Thiel, Department of Veterans Affairs. Chair Vickerman and Senator Chaudhry, the permanent trust account, we don't actually use that account. There is $1,500 sitting in there, so what we have in another bill is to eliminate that account and move it over to the maintenance account because that's what we can use for, like, headstone replacement and that sort of thing. So we're just getting rid of the permanent trust account since we don't actually use that account.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Keel, does the... Does the department not receive any monetary donations to the cemetery that would be placed in this account?
No, Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry. The donations we get go into our department donations account, and if they write on the memo line that is for the cemetery, we just keep it in our donations account. We don't actually put it in this separate account.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Keel, the statute says that you have to place monetary donations to the cemetery in the trust account. Why hasn't that been the practice?
Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhry, unfortunately, I don't know why that hasn't been the practice. We have recently undergone in having a new finance person come on, and she caught that error, and that's why now we have approximately $1,500 in there because she caught that error. But unfortunately, that preceded my time at the department, and I don't know why that wasn't followed. I can't answer that for you.
Mr. Chair, the statute goes on to say that the principal in this account has to be invested, and the income then goes to the development and maintenance account that you were talking to. So there's supposed to be, from what I'm reading here, a perpetual fund to assist the cemetery's development and maintenance. And what I think I'm hearing from you is that that hasn't been the case. And since that hasn't been the case, the department is just proposing to change the law as opposed to their practice. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhry, we actually consulted the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Cemetery Division, and this is a change that they suggested. The change isn't because we haven't been using the account. It's a change that nationwide that they're moving to, which then allowed our finance person to examine that, and that's how we discovered that in our past finance practices, unfortunately, that had not been happening.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Keel, it was your testimony that those people who write cemetery mm-hmm. in their donation, you know, for their donation, those checks do not go to the trust account as they are supposed to by statute. They go into your maintenance account. That was your that's what you said.
Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry, that's correct. So our maintenance account, not the permanent trust account, we still have the maintenance account.
Mr. Chair, Ms.
Not the permanent trust.
I understand that. I'm asking you, why aren't those monies going into the trust account like the statute requires?
Mr. Chair and Senator Chaudhry, I'll have to ask my finance person and get back to you that on that. I'm sorry, I do not have that answer today. Unless finance.
Mr. Chair, I wasn't at the hearing when we heard this bill, so I don't know if there was strong feelings from the committee either way, but I mean, this kind of caught my eye, and I'm just wondering if anyone else feels that before we delete this statute and delete a trust fund for veteran cemeteries, we should.
As we take this bill, Coast of Finance will ask that question rather than, because I don't think you're prepared to answer it, but we go to Finance tomorrow. If the bill gets out of here, then we'll ask the department to answer that question, Senator Chaudhry.
I certainly appreciate any input from members, but you know, if there aren't any and we're not getting satisfactory answers, I guess at some point it would be my intent to remove this section.
Any further discussion? Members, the motion would be that we adopt the Senate Council, what's the right motion?
Mr. Chairman, what you want to do now is just move the bill to the full Finance Committee. So you're basically recommending the bill for passage to the full Finance Committee.
Mr. Chair, before the motion, I just would like to say to Senator Chaudhry that if the answers are not satisfactory, do you all be supporting your motion on the floor to put that language back?
Okay, thank you.
Me too.
I need a motion from Senator Scogin.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move Senate File 3683, and I got here late. Did we amend?
Yes,
as amended. You recommended to pass and sent to Finance.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So adopted. I thank all of you for working on this. We'll go a step further. So we are adjourned.
My guess is small.